This is CliffCentral.com.
Anne-Marie in 2002. Nice. Nice. Nice for a Monday morning. All right, we're off to a good start. I hope you are, and we're here to keep you informed and fill you in on all the things that you might have missed over the weekend and some other stuff. Apparently, there's breaking news of another scandal that's taking place. Babes Wadumo and Mumpy and Sha are apparently in an Instagram live feed, which has really just come up now in the last couple of hours.
Yeah, in the last few hours, it seems, once again, we don't know in the days of Nomuzi and what can happen with Instagram Live. It seems that Babes Wadumo, who's the big hip-hop artist right now, she went live on Instagram in what looks like a bedroom, and it's her and her boyfriend, who's also big in music right now, Mampinja, and they're walking past the camera, the view of the camera, and Mampinja then lays a few slaps and punches on Babes Wadumo, and people are now saying, okay, yes, it could be a case of abuse, but alas, as what we've seen recently, what if this is another campaign for something?
Nomuzi Mabena a little while ago faked that car accident on Instagram Live. It was a whole campaign, and it had a mixed response from people. They're like, well, you know, if we can't trust you, then your campaign may as well have shock value, but it doesn't necessarily change behavior, and it's probably a bad thing to mislead people. It's dishonest.
Yeah.
So if this is real, we've seen the Cry Wolf situation unfold. So now people are suspicious of everything.
Yeah, well, this is a bit of a sensitive issue, as there has been a lot of talk around abuse between Babes and Mumbinja's relationship for a while now. Babes initially admitting that Mumbinja had abused her, and then a couple of months later, she went back to Mumbinja. If you are like a big psychologist or whatever, you would say that's classic abuse behavior. So
it's quite a disturbing video. Sia just showed it to me.
It is.
And basically she gets slapped, and then she kind of tries to get out of the way, and then he goes in for a second clap, and it's not good. It's really not good. Whatever it is, if it's real, she should get the hell out of there, and he should be arrested for domestic abuse. And if it's fake, I mean, God forbid that someone would fake something so ugly.
Yeah.
Really. People don't play with people's emotions, you know? They expect you to be honest. This is how you ruin your reputation. I don't know how well it's been going for Nomuzi since she did that video, but I haven't heard a damn thing out of her. And I don't think people really care anymore. Mm. They feel betrayed. They feel lied to. There has to be some kind of way, whether it's a hashtag you have to use or a watermark on the video or whatever it is that makes it clear to people, listen, this is for a paid or promotional thing, or it's got to do with awareness or whatever it is, that it's not real, because it can upset a lot of people.
Well, there'll always
there are a lot of women who are abused like that every day,
and it's triggering,
and they don't want to see that. They don't want to see that and then realize afterwards that particular scenario is faked and theirs isn't. That makes them feel,
I don't know, it's not on for me.
Yeah.
There'll always be a way around these things.
So we'll keep an eye on that story and let you know what other developments there are.
Yeah.
So loads of things happened over the weekend. Apparently there are three former circus lions from Kiev in Ukraine who are coming to South Africa.
Kiev, Ukraine. The story is just so amazing, and it brings tears to my eyes. Oh, so yes. Yesterday was actually World Wildlife Day.
Oh.
And they arrived... The announcement of their arrival was made yesterday. And it was Turkish Airlines which got involved in helping to rescue them. Mm. So it's actually three lionesses, sisters. Their names are Luca, Charlie, and Kai. And one of their cubs, a boy cub named Nathan. Mm-hmm. They've been circus lions in Kiev for many years. Oh, no. Don't play this music. I'll cry.
Tell us about the circus lions and their years of abuse in Kiev, Ukraine.
So they lived in, just to get the really bad news out of the way first, quickly. They lived in a 35 square meter cement and steel cage. They had no sunlight, no direct sunlight, and hardly any clean air.
Well, nobody in Ukraine does.
This is true. They were lucky. At least they were together.
Oh, wow.
So the lions were saved by the Lawrence Anthony World Organization, a group that champions animal rights. After their rescue, they were this is their long journey. They were sent to South Korea and put into a decent habitat. They then got onto a plane and traveled 9,000 kilometers.
They've traveled further than Sia and me combined.
They were so far away from where they were supposed to be. And finally, they've arrived. They are in the Krachakama Game Park on in the Eastern Cape. It's a natural habitat.
They learn any tricks during their time as circus lions that they could deploy in the wild?
I will not tolerate.
Yes, Liam.
Sorry, I'm trying to take this seriously. All right, just stop. Start yes, that again. Liam. So, three circus lions from Kiev, Ukraine, have arrived in South Africa after an epic journey of thousands of kilometers and are experiencing freedom for the first time. Oh. And what did they do, Leanne?
14,000 square meters of coastal forest and meadows are theirs.
Did they frolic out of the trucks?
They probably did. Wow. I actually only saw footage of them while they were being transported.
They must have been unhappy about that.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
lions don't like to fly.
No, it's like putting my cat in the car. She doesn't like it at all.
No.
But, yeah, they're finally where they're supposed to be. And it's all thanks to mainly the Turkish Airlines cargo brand that paid for all of this and transported them.
Bless them. That's lovely. That's really, really nice. Helping out these three lions. You don't hear much, you know, in the way of people helping animals. Usually people are treating animals badly.
Yeah, so if zoos just follow suit now, they can close and return the animals to where they're meant to be.
Well, you know what? Zoos are doing some good work. A lot of the animals wouldn't survive in a big natural habitat. And
yeah,
they're
getting depressed to death. Like you got an elephant in like a
yeah, I agree size with you completely. Studio. I agree with you completely. But there are some cases. The good cases are overtaking the bad at zoos.
Okay.
All right.
Well, if there's a reptile with a sore foot, I wish him the best. But, I mean, an African leopard sitting on a rock while a fat kid throws popcorn at the window. I mean...
I agree with you.
It's the obvious ones I'm talking about here, obviously.
And poor Harambe. God bless Harambe.
And then Harambe was murdered as well.
He was murdered.
He wouldn't have been murdered in Rwanda.
No. Rest in peace, Harambe. #NeverForgetHarambe.
Never forget Harambe.
This took quite a turn.
Are you saying you forgot about Harambe?
Never forget, Sia.
Lest I ever go against the hashtag.
All right. Apparently, there's an online petition going around. They want to sell the Northern Cape to Namibia. What do you think of that?
It sounds ridiculous.
I think it's great. What a great idea. I don't think we need the Northern Cape.
So many questions, but... Just go with one. Why?
Okay, so...
What do we want from it? We don't need the Northern Cape. What is there in the Northern Cape that we need?
Let me just warn you that Northern Cape residents are up in arms about this. Because they feel like they've been...
Sitchin Golf Course.
They feel like they've been treated like rubbish by this, okay?
Yeah.
So the reason for selling it would be to settle some of Eskom's debt.
Yes.
So the petition was started by Adrian van Niekerk and suggests that the province... contributes little to the country. This is why everyone is upset about it.
So they're upset because they're losers and they can't contribute anything to the economy.
He's suggesting to sell the Northern Cape to Namibia for 420 billion rand.
Go on. Let's do it.
To erase Eskom's debt. 22, the screenshot which was taken on the 22nd of Feb, so I'm not sure what it is sitting at now, but there were quite a few people that had signed it. So, yeah, I mean, it is... largely rural, has the lowest population.
It has Kimberley. I want it.
It's rich in mineral wealth.
We've taken all the diamonds out. Give it away. Come on. 400 billion. You know what that could do to our GDP? Come on.
Yes, it'd be pissed up in like three piss-ups.
Listen, let me tell you something.
By Cyril and his mates.
Let me tell you, the Northern Cape is useless. It's pretty much Namibia anyway. Nobody goes there. I don't know anyone who says, oh, you know what I'm doing? I'm going to sell up here and move to the beautiful Northern Cape.
Mm-hmm.
Says no one ever.
And then what,
guys? People from the Northern Cape can't wait to get out of the Northern Cape. So go into Namibia.
And then suddenly Namibia get ambitious and then their army attacks us.
Oh, please.
It only takes 10 of them. I've seen our army.
If we sell it to them, that's a trade deal. There's going to be no war.
As Anthea says, you can't put good money after bad. Any money after this current government is just a mess. And then we've got no Northern Cape and the same position we were.
If it would reduce the debt that Eskom has got and we could plug some of that drain on our resources, I say Northern Cape has got to go.
If
you've got to cut off a limb that is making you sick.
Also, where does Namibia get 420 billion rand from?
Million.
A billion. What are they doing? They're monetizing sand.
They've got diamonds on the Skeleton Coast.
Yeah, but the De Beers own that.
Maybe it's happening in Upington.
They can sell
their
ex-president Hifikepunye Pohamba and his wife Penelope Pohamba to us.
Just one more time.
About them.
And Hifikepunye Pohamba. German money. Yeah.
He was the president.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then his wife was
Penelope Pohamba.
Who wants to buy them?
They were good friends.
Too many trade questions here that have no answers.
They were good friends with Brad and Angelina.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they were.
Oh, yes. That's why.
They had all their children taken to
But again, that's
Hollywood.
That's 5 years ago. No one cares now.
Well, I still think if we could get value out of that. I mean, just imagine the map of South Africa, how good it would look.
Well, here it is.
With
this
that
is what
chunk
it would look
taken
like.
Out. Yeah,
it would look silly.
Be great.
It would look absolutely silly.
We would basically look like a man with a really big underbite. That's what we would look like.
It's silly, actually. The profile of
we would be losing the Ochrabies Falls.
Oh, please.
The Makwa National Park, the Big Hole.
Look at Ben, he's got a list.
The Lixus Veld.
When did you...
Ben's got a list.
Because I like the wilds, you fucking heathens. Just give away the Northern Cape. Just give more money to the ANC.
I've been to the Northern Cape once.
And
landed at...
We will lose.
At an airport that was as big as my lounge.
We will lose the Three Sisters and the Southern African Large Telescope.
It's okay. I don't really... I haven't even seen that. I haven't even been.
William Humphreys' art gallery will be gone, Gareth.
Who?
Exactly.
Who's what?
William Humphreys' art gallery. You haven't discovered it yet.
Huh.
Namibia's like in the spotlight this week, eh? Hey? Well, because that's where Mayfork Marelise was from.
Oh, is she from there?
Yes.
Now listen, Mayfork.
The Orange River's wine cellars will be gone.
Thank you, Northern Cape Tourism, Ben Kopinski.
All right, hang on. While Ben continues to defend this piece of shit province.
Oh, that's shocking.
It really is.
Camphor's Dam, they've got flamingos.
We'll be fine without the Camphor's Dam. Is that all you've got, or are there any
other? You say so flippantly, but the Kimberley Big Hole, I mean, I must reiterate, we'll lose the Big Hole.
It's a hole.
It's a great museum.
But Ben, I just need to tell you, it's not really going anywhere. It's still going to be there, and all you need to do is visit Namibia to see them.
Which you don't need a visa for. So you just cross a border instead of crossing a provincial border. I don't have a problem with this at all. In fact,
it's not been plucked into the air and taken
away.
Go
back to your map. Let's sell them the Eastern Cape as well.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
Okay, whoa.
Because we don't need that. And then we can, in fact, give the Western
Cape...
Can
that go to Lesotho?
Let the Western Cape secede, right? Let them actually be what they've always wanted to be. The Western Cape wants to be a separate country, so let's give them that.
I need to look at the map now.
We can sell the Eastern Cape. I think the Free State, too. We can give that to whoever wants it. Maybe Botswana want a piece of that. Really, all we need to keep is Gauteng. All the other provinces can go.
Well, then I'm moving.
Hey,
then I'm moving to the other countries.
Which one? Would you go to Limpopo country?
No, I'd go to the Cape one or Namibia.
The new Namibia, huh? There we go. The first ever recorded sentence of a human being who wanted to move to the Northern Cape.
Yeah, I know we can give up Limpopo and Mpumalanga, hey?
Absolutely.
Shut your ignorant mouth. Mpumalanga is beautiful. Okay,
yeah,
cool.
It really is.
Let's just give them the Kruger National Park.
No, we can't do that.
Let's just give that to Zimbabwe because why not?
Mozambique can take it over.
You know what this sounds like? This sounds like Europe carving up Africa so many hundreds of years ago. What was it? 1890s. They took a big map of Africa and they said, the British came in and said, well, we'll have Nigeria, and we'll have South Africa, and we'll have Rhodesia, and we'll take, what was the other one that they had? Where else did Britain have some territory? I think they had something in the West African desert. Anyway, the French said, we will have Niger, and we will have Cameroon, and we will have...
Congo?
No, that was for the Belgians.
Oh, the Belgians, that's right.
And they had the Germans, and they said, we will have Tanganyika, and we will have Namibia for South West Africa, and we will have What was the other place they had? Who knows?
Well, now the Northern Cape as well.
No, but let's give these... I don't understand. We don't need the Northern Cape. We don't need the Eastern Cape. We don't need Limpopo. We don't need Mpumalanga.
Can we just sell them our cabinet? They can have that.
No one wants 100 that.
100 million.
No one.
90
no one.
Million.
No one will pay.
Give us a six-pack of Hunter's gold.
Okay, that's a fair price. All right, give them our cabin. There we go. Ben with us. That's a constructive piece of...
That's a good sale.
Yeah, it's a good sale. You're like Donald Trump. You've got the art of the deal, Ben. What can we say? All right. Other news. Other things that are happening that you need to know about.
Any left-handed people here? Southpaws?
No. Why? Because Southpaws. Is that what they say?
That's what they call them in the UK, I think.
Southpaws.
Yeah, okay. It's a boxing term, I think.
Oh, yes.
All right.
Right.
No, I don't have a left-handedness. I have a right-handedness.
So there are five big advantages of being left-handed that we're missing out on.
Yeah, like writing and your hand rubs across your writing as you go. That's
no,
a great
much
advantage.
More important things than that.
What?
Like boxing. Huh? Ben, you can maybe help me out here. But left-handed people were...
She's making this up.
Badly, I know.
We're overrepresented in
the
database
of, a dog.
Of 10,000 boxers and martial arts fighters and had a higher win percentage. This confirms the fighter hypothesis.
No, I'll tell you what that confirms, is that the left-handers were bullied shitless when they were in school because they were left-handed. So they grew up tougher because they were ostracized. Nothing to do with technique or physical abilities of being a Southpaw.
Really?
Just means that they grew up tough because they kept being bullied.
Well, they used to force you to use your right hand.
Yes.
Like if people were ambidextrous or they were left-handed, there used to be a time where they would actually force you to use your right hand, no matter how much you hated it.
I was having this discussion with my mother over the weekend because she's left-handed and her dad was forced. They tied his left hand behind his back and made him right.
Oh my word, that's just so bad.
And then at break he got bullied and became a boxing champion because he got bullied.
Now he's the best boxer in the world.
Well, he's not around anymore, yeah, I think.
Yeah. Died a while ago, but
okay.
I mean...
Died sure. from bullying.
The other thing, moving swiftly along, is remembering. Left-handed people may also be better at remembering events. The explanation is that the two brain hemispheres of left-handers are more strongly connected. This result also applied to people with left-handed relatives, Ben. There you go. Yeah. Maths. Handedness is also a factor in mathematical ability. A study of 2,300 Italian students by three European universities found that for simple arithmetic, there was little difference between left and right-handed performance, but for difficult problem-solving, left-handers won out. The fourth advantage out of five is thinking. Left-handed people may also think differently.
Thinking? What about us right-handed people? We can think too.
The study showed that when shown columns of abstract illustrations, participants were more likely to prefer the images in the column of their handedness. Left-handed people think that the good stuff is on the left and the bad is on the right.
Yeah. Yes, it's true. They're all evil. They used to burn left-handed people as witches. Well, don't trust them.
And then, Ben, you come in again here with interactive sports. Previous studies have found that left-handers are overrepresented in professional interactive sports. And a 2017 study found that interactive sports that require the fastest reaction times confer the biggest advantage. In short, if you have a left-handed child, you should encourage them to play table tennis, baseball, and cricket to maximize their chances of sporting success.
It's quite a lot for them to do in their first couple of years.
Would you
baseball,
say
tennis, and cricket.
Tennis? Tennis and cricket. I mean, we see a lot of left-handed, brilliant sports people in those fields.
If you say so. I don't believe that these are not. If they could only find five advantages, they're not really advantages.
Yeah, unlike this story, which is a real story, the Jonas Brothers are officially back together.
Oh, what happened?
Woo! Oh no, really?
No, guys, I actually like their song.
Hasn't that train left the station?
Why must you know more? Just know that the Jonas Brothers are back together.
All right.
That's pretty much it. But in this whole...
The song is good.
Shut up, yeah. So, Bohemian Rhapsody is going to be released in China without the gay content.
Okay. Which is pretty much defining Freddie Mercury. I mean, when you think Freddie Mercury, somewhere in the first 10 words you use, one of them is going to be...
Gay.
Gay.
Homosexual.
Huh. They don't like that in China,
good times.
They happy. They didn't say that in Chinese descriptions of the movie.
Nope. To really kind of quote it, the Chinese official said the current version of the film is inappropriate for their audience.
Oh.
So there'll be no gayness. If you want to see Bohemian Rhapsody in China, there'll be no gayness.
Huh. So his music is fine, but his life isn't.
Yeah.
Well, the most, I think one of the most beautiful things about that movie is actually the relationship he had with Mary. You know, his longtime, in inverted commas, wife, because she was also the one who inherited all his money. And he loved her more than any of his lovers. So I didn't know about that until I saw the movie. So if they keep that in, that may get people thinking he was straight, which he wasn't. But he did love that Mary girl. Wow, she's still alive.
Oh. So this draws up an interesting line then as to what you accept and what you don't accept. You know, over the past little while, there's been this big hoopla over should R. Kelly music be banned and it not, which now leads to the BBC has just recently announced this, I think it was yesterday, that they'll now be banning Michael Jackson music.
Oh, God. All right, here we go.
Thanks, Oprah.
Oprah ruining the music business now because she doesn't have any stake in it. Listen to the opening trailer for Leaving Neverland. This is Oprah's new production, Witch Hunt with Oprah.
Everybody wanted to meet Michael or be with Michael. And then he likes you.
I was 7 years old. Michael asked, do you and the family want to come to Neverland?
We drive in and forget about all your problems. You were in Neverland. It was a fantasy.
The days were filled with magical childhood adventure experiences. Playing tag, watching movies, eating junk food, anything you could ever want as a child.
It's like hanging out with a friend that's more your age.
Just kid things. They were just doing kid things. He just came across as a loving, caring, kind soul. It was easy to believe that he was just that.
Out of a storybook, right? Out of a fairy tale.
Hello, Wade. Today is your birthday. So congratulations. I love you. Goodbye.
It is a little.
It's a creep-a-thon. Mm. Okay, so there's Michael wishing Wade Robson a happy birthday in that video.
There's no thoughts of this is wrong or anything like that.
He told me if they ever found out what we were doing, he and I would go to jail for the rest of our lives.
Secrets will eat you up. You feel so alone.
I want to be able to speak the truth as loud as I had to speak the lie for so long.
Leaving Neverland. Brought to you by Oprah Winfrey on her way to demolish what little you have left of a love of Michael Jackson music. Well, here's Oprah in her own words explaining it. All right. I love these trailers.
Men who tell their stories in Leaving Neverland. Wade Robson and James Safechuck are here with me, as well as the director, Dan Reed. This moment is bigger than any one person. People can be loving and helpful and also be an abuser. Sexual abuse against children challenges so many people because some things are not the way they appear to be.
Hmm. Oprah sitting
in. All because Michael wouldn't cast Oprah as an extra in Thriller. Gosh, this woman's got to let it go. She's got to let it go.
Did reach that point?
Well,
but what's your view? Yay or nay, should his music be banned?
Of course not.
No, please don't take away the little bit of happiness and joy that Michael left in the world with his music. I often said, I got into a lot of trouble for this, but okay. I'll probably get into trouble again. I often said, if it would take someone's children to get another Billie Jean song, someone send your children.
Huh. Yeah, well, look,
To Mamina, Mr. President.
Yeah, exactly.
You make a good point. When you diddle kids, it's not a good idea in life, and you should, face the consequences. But Michael's music has given more joy.
Finish
that statement. Give more joy.
Then
and he also paid the families. R. Kelly was just a piece of shit. So you got to draw a line.
I paid them a lot of money.
Exactly.
A lot.
Thanks, Michael. I got you back.
Thank you, Ben. I love you, Ben. I sung a song.
He did sing a song of
Ben. Yeah, I know. You said it was about the rat, but I know it was about me.
It's about you. I just hadn't met you yet.
Yeah. But it was fated.
Do you need a moment together?
No.
Or has Ben too old?
No, because I'm not clingy.
Well, now he's too old for Michael, but then Michael's not around either.
I'm safe.
Here's Oprah explaining why the sexual abuse conversation transcends Michael Jackson. All right, listen to this.
In 25 years of the Oprah show, I taped 217 episodes on sexual abuse.
Remember, Oprah wasn't she also diddled by her father? So,
and then
well, it was her uncle and her cousin. Yeah.
Okay, the whole family climbed into Oprah when she was young. So clearly she's... No. I mean, I'm not being insensitive here. She's got stuff she wants to unpack and help other people work through. So this is part of the reason she's decided to do the Michael Jackson documentary, right?
I tried and tried and tried to get the message across to people that sexual abuse was not just abuse, it was also sexual seduction. But for me, this moment transcends Michael Jackson. It is much bigger than any one person. This is a moment in time that allows us to see this societal corruption. It's like a scourge on humanity. And it's happening right now. It's happening in families. We know it's happening in churches and in schools and sports teams everywhere. So if it gets you, our audience, to see how it happens, then some good would have come of it.
What do you think? Sia, you're a massive Oprah fan. I want to know what you think.
Sure, I get that she says the conversation is important, but I'm still going back to the basis of why are we taking what Wade and James are saying as such great serious things? I don't want to use the word facts because Michael isn't here. You know, if it was the surviving R. Kelly thing, I think the documentary coming out is fair to a certain extent because R. Kelly has a right to come out and
he can still be punished for his crimes.
And he can still, though, also say, no, it isn't real, and this is why, and this is why, and this is why. But Michael isn't here. So why are we taking what Wade and James are saying so seriously? I understand, yes, it might be true, but it's also there. It's one side of the story.
Yeah, it's very difficult. I mean, look, we can be flippant and silly about this because Michael Jackson isn't around anymore to predate on children. And everybody kind of had a suspicion there was something not entirely above board going on there.
Yeah.
I do believe personally something did happen
there. Yeah, you get a feeling, right? And some people say, well, that's not good enough. You can't send people to jail based on feelings. But he did settle out of court with a number of these kids.
Mm-hmm. And he says, I love the children, but it was always boys who were there.
Yeah.
Why didn't he play around?
But with him, pardon the pun, it's not black and white. Black or white with him. But his mental illness was so advanced and also very intricate and not cookie cutter because of his own abuse. So he loved children so much, but that went into the sexual realm, which it shouldn't have. His brain was just really confused.
And his brain also never got a chance to be a child, so then he had time, space, and money, and Joe was behind another fence. He got the time to be a child with other children. And that must have been really odd because then he's a human in like Barney's play pit, so to speak.
So yeah.
An adult. Yeah.
I mean, it's like putting a shark in an aquarium. It's all good and well until the puffer fish gets bitten, you know.
Mm. Well, here's
the old saying goes.
Here's
it's all shits and giggles until someone giggles and shits.
Here's Oprah asking one of the accusers why he continued to associate with Michael, which is something a lot of people would probably want to know. You know, once you've been in a situation of abuse, why would you want to still be around that person? You'd want to get away from them, you'd think, right?
Yeah.
Here's the thing that I think it's so hard for people who have not had this kind of trauma or experience in their lives to understand. And that is, if you were abused, why would you continue to want to be around the person? I think one of the things that the Michael Jackson's estate is saying about you now is that you, Wade, had tried to get a job working with his organization or going on tour. Why would you want to continue? Can you explain to people why you want to continue the association if you have been abused?
I had no understanding of it being abuse. You know, I loved Michael. And all the times that I testified, and, you know, the many, many times that I gushed over him publicly in interviews or whatever it may be, that was from a real place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, while never forgetting any of the sexual details that happened between us, but having no understanding that it was abuse, having no concept in my mind that anything about Michael could ever be bad. Anything that Michael did was right to me for so many years.
What do you think of that?
Well, okay. If this was Rome back in the day, the Romans, right?
Yeah.
This would be anything. This would be normal. This would be every other day.
Sure.
Man on man, there's a feeling of awe and wonder and all this kind of stuff, and it was consensual. But now it's like, sorry, you were abusing me. It's a very difficult conversation, this, because, again, like, children shouldn't be interfered with. But this guy, like you say, he loved Michael. He poured over him. He was like, Michael was a god to him.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael just felt love for him.
Sure.
But that's not what the law allows anymore.
Or should.
Or right, should. Well said. But it's a difficult, it's a murky matter.
Well, I've got a couple of interesting messages here that we should really have covered while we were still in the discussion around the Northern Cape. But Aiden van Niekerk, the guy who started the petition, has contacted us. Who knew he was listening? And he says he will tell us all about the Northern Cape petition. So we'll get him on the line at some point.
Who knew?
Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
Sure.
And some others. There's one screenshot that someone sent me of someone called Talun Zetun. I was a boy in Michael Jackson's life, and nothing of what he's being accused of in the documentary Leaving Neverland ever happened. My story is on the and then he gives a link. Excuse the shift in content, but I have to speak about something that's been infuriating me. Last Friday, a documentary called Leaving Neverland premiered at Sundance, which focuses on the stories of two men that were in Michael Jackson's life as boys, claiming sexual molestation by the singer. Infuriated about the lies, I've calmed down since to gather my thoughts and write. My latest blog post tells my story, since my mother and I knew Michael and the danger of what a documentary like this is doing.
Yeah, apparently he went forward to Oprah and Oprah told him to piss off.
Oh, because he didn't have a good story.
Yeah.
Ben.
Someone else suggesting, Gareth, why can't we sell Gauteng to Zimbabwe?
Yeah, because it's more than 10 rand is what Gauteng's worth.
More than 10 rand, and that's all Zimbabwe's got. All right, very good. Now, we're very excited because just the other day we were talking to Leanne and she just let slip that her cousin builds assholes.
Very nonchalantly.
We were talking about...
you just brought it
certain
up.
Certain people who had two assholes.
You brought it up out of context. There was no real reason. You just needed to boast about your clever cousin who reconstructs people's backsides. And here she is. She's actually decided to take time out of her crazy schedule as a doctor to come in and explain to us what it is. She doesn't just build assholes, by the way. She's actually involved in a whole lot of other medical procedures, and she's been at work in medicine since 2010. At various hospitals, including Chris Hani Baragwanath, and she's currently the registrar in pediatric surgery. Is that right, Taryn? Nice to see you.
Yeah, hi. Thanks
Good.
For having me.
Did you like our introduction of you as the asshole builder?
I did.
A compliment.
It probably could have come not after Michael Jackson's molestation of
children. Oh, right.
Which, you know, I'm just...
Man. All right, good point. We could let's just edit that. Spungula, can we just chop that out so that it doesn't sound like the one leads into the other?
Stick the story about the lions in the middle or something.
Yeah, put the lion stuff in the middle.
Not a all good right, segue.
So, Taryn, you've been involved. Now, listen, pediatric surgery is no messing around. I mean, you're dealing sometimes with kids with really awful conditions and kids who have a particular difficult situations to try and get healthy from. Their kids born with holes in the heart and all kinds of things. And because they're children, people are particularly emotional about them. Yeah. And it must make your job a little bit more difficult. You know, if some 80-year-old dies on the operating table, it, yeah, we... get over it a lot quicker than we do if it's a child. Because I suppose we look at children, we see them as being these innocent and perfect little things. And we don't expect stuff to go wrong, but they do. Things go wrong.
Yeah, it's awful. I mean, what a way to start. But just last night we lost a patient, and it was awful. You know, I've never seen a family react quite as hysterically as they did. But then you're in a situation and you're like, what do you do? People are screaming and crying and praying and hitting things, and you know, it's really, really awful. But at the same time, I think you have to go back every day and do it again, kind of a thing.
Well, you do save lives. It's not as if all this
stories
end badly.
Yeah, yeah.
But what made you want to go into pediatrics? It's so hard.
It's a little bit like veterinary science, I think, actually. You know.
In what way?
Hi, Mom. What's wrong with your child? Can't talk. Can't point. Can't tell
right,
you.
Of course.
And you just like try and make it up as you go along. But I think the thing that drew me to pediatric surgery specifically is it is, I think, the purest form of surgery that still exists. We operate on everything. So with it being a subspecialty, we still get to operate in the chest and in the neck and in the abdomen and in the pelvis. There's sort of, this sounds terrible, but sort of nothing we can't do. You know, and we get a chance to operate in different places on different children, congenital anomalies. You operating in children who, you know, aren't 95 with a smoker's lung and peripheral vascular disease and diabetes and smelly.
And children are pretty resilient. I mean, they've still got some of those stem cells. They can recover sometimes a lot better than older people.
So I think one of the best things about working with children is that they either do well or they don't. The greatest thing about working with a child is that there's no emotional background, right? There's no like, oh, I feel better, but I'm not going to tell you I feel better because then you're going to send me back to work and like I need my sick letter to be another extra week long. So, you know, there's that. But you walk into the ward and all of a sudden a kid who was lying down yesterday not doing anything is all of a sudden sitting up and playing and wanting to eat. And it's like, it's so truthful. It's so honest. You know, you can work with these kids and they just tell you the truth. They're amazing. They're amazing. I don't know how people work with adults. Sorry for you guys.
I don't know how people work with people, so we're fine, yeah.
Did you always want to work with kids, or did that come after you'd chosen to specialize?
Yeah, no, that was a surprise for me, actually. I didn't want to work with
children. Because you don't have kids.
No, I didn't want to work with children. I didn't want children. Hmm. I wanted to be a pathologist. I wanted to be a forensic pathologist like Patricia Cornwell.
Okay.
Ooh. Well, her novels. And so I did a bachelor's in science, and after that found that I could only be a forensic pathologist if one does medicine. So I started doing medicine, and it was just after tragic, you can play that music again, music, but my dad died in a car accident, awful, and he was autopsied at Hillbrow Morgue. And during our rotation, during medical school, our forensics rotation was at Hillbrow Morgue. So when they said, you know, can we have a volunteer who wants to come and, you know, help with the autopsy? I was like, right, this is my time. Like, if I really want to be a forensic pathologist, this is how I'm going to learn. And the guy that I went and assisted on was just so similar to my dad, like 55-year-old guy, otherwise completely healthy. He had been shot, actually. And one of the things that you do in the autopsy is you have to basically break the fingers open so that you can do fingerprinting. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Sia.
Yeah, Sia, this is going to really upset Sia, but go for
sorry.
It.
And once you do that, because of the rigor mortis, it's actually like they contract again after that. And so this guy's hand like contracted on mine, and I just thought, wouldn't it be great if I could still cut people but they woke up afterwards? Like, wouldn't that be better?
Yeah.
So
God, you really are hardcore there. I mean, you have to have nerves of steel to do what you do.
Let me say, that's a thought that has never crossed my mind. Wouldn't it be great just to cut people
and make them better, Sia? Don't forget the caveat.
Yeah. So then I thought, okay, fine, general surgery is something great. Like, I think I could really get into that. It's got the surgical aspect. I've always thought of myself as one of the more stupid people in the medical field. You know what I mean? Like, I want to do something with my hands, right? I'm not so much of a thinker. Like, anesthetists do physics and things and machines and up and I'm just like, can I cut it out? Great. If I can't, who can I refer
to? Growing up, if you had a pimple or a cyst or a wart or something, Taryn was there with scissors.
Oh.
She went missing for a little while in the afternoon one day walking home from school because she'd found a homeless person who had a cyst and she made them wait so she could go home and get some tools.
And
she operated on him in the street.
And he's now currently running as co-chair of the mayoral council. Look what you did.
Yeah, helping the community.
Yeah, sure. So, okay, but this practical thing is important because surgery is unlike, you know, doing a general diagnosis as a GP.
Yeah.
This is much more hands-on. You deal, obviously, you must have, in your earlier years of practice, done trauma. That's complex stuff too.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's time and it's tension and it's difficulty and you work those long hours and you still do, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Just this morning she had a call at 2 a.m.
Yeah, I went there too. I've been there since 2. I was on call this weekend, so I really can't say much. But I did get 3 hours of interrupted sleep, so I suppose that's good. Can't complain.
How can you function on so little sleep?
Goodness.
It worries me when doctors say this. It's like you're all trying to be heroes. I know two other people who are very, very good, very dedicated doctors, just like you. They love what they're doing. They want to be at work. They enjoy the nervous tension that it creates and the way that they can take control of destiny, really, in saving or not saving someone. And they also work these ridiculously long hours. And then I always wonder, is that necessarily something you want people to know? Because it would really scare me if I knew that the surgeon who was working on me was tired.
It is a really great point. I've been on antiretrovirals post needle stick 9 times now. Some people would think that makes me clumsy, but I'm like, when I was explaining it to my mom, if you were a seamstress and you pricked yourself with the needle, right, people wouldn't call you clumsy. You just work with needles. Mm-hmm. That's what I do.
Yeah.
No.
But I can tell you that all 9 of those times have been post-call. So it's been a rubbish night. It's been long and you're still at work and you're still trying to function. And I think, you know, I mean, I'm feeling it a little bit more now as I get older, that I'm not as chipper the next morning after an entire night on call. I operated the whole of Friday night and I was broken on Saturday. I must have slept for about 10 hours during the day. But I think it brings up a really important point in surgery where if you look at the countries overseas that are so strictly monitored with their working times and their hours and how long they're allowed to be on call, and if you've been on call for 3 nights in a row, you actually have to have 4 days off after that. Mm-hmm. And it works for a lot of the specialties, a lot of the other non-practical medical specialties. And what I mean by practical is, I mean, using your hands. So
right.
If you're learning to operate, one of the issues that we're having is those people are overseas and their hours are limited. So great, you admit a patient, but often it takes 8, 9, 10 hours to get a patient to theater. You're missing out on that operation because now your time is done. You get to go home. So a lot of the time, you actually need those hours. You need to put in those hours to operate. Like my boss always talks about 10,000 hours. And I always joke and say, well, at least I can get that at Barra. You know, like... so it is difficult. I think we do work long hours. It is what it is in this country. I think it needs to be. We have a crisis shortage of doctors. Lots of people are leaving. Everything's up in the air. What do you do? Yeah. What do you do?
But having said all of that, we also have some of the best private healthcare in the world.
Yeah.
We do have some of the best doctors in the world.
We've got the best doctors in the world. I'm a little bit biased.
I think you're allowed to say that. Okay, so let's get on to the reason Leanne said we must get you in here. To build an asshole. I mean, yes. I've been to the Build-A-Bear workshop where you kind of choose what kind of a bear you want and what sort of clothes it's going to wear, but this is a very different thing.
Yes.
You don't point to a chart and go, I'd like that one.
I want that one.
Yeah.
So, I think Gareth and CM and Ben wanted to know what were the bricks and mortar of what ingredients do you need to make a bum?
And also just before that, what cases are there where someone needs a new asshole?
Needs a new anus.
Horrible things.
So a lot of children are born without said assholes. It's called
this is a common thing.
Yeah, in Johannesburg, 1 in 4,000. So it's one of the more common congenital anomalies. It's not out there, you know. It's not common knowledge. People don't walk around with their brown colored ribbon for poo day, you know. And people,
the poo emoji.
Yeah, you know, like people don't talk about this stuff. So it's sort of like swept under the carpet, and nobody thinks that this is real. People are always alarmed when I tell them that children are born without bums. And they're like, but what do you mean? But literally, it's 1 in 4,000 children. Yeah, completely.
It's just sealed up. There's nothing there.
And yeah, surely it's an emergency, because you need to get the poop out.
Yeah, so for the girls, usually in a girl, there's a fistula. So when you look at the bum, there's no anus. Mm. But there's usually a fistula from the rectum that goes either to the perineum, so a perineal fistula, which is like a tiny little slit-like opening, which you can sometimes dilate, but they can't pass stool properly through that. Or it opens up into the back of the vestibule, so a vestibular fistula. And when boys are generally more of an emergency. So for them, their fistula will open up normally into the urinary tract. So it opens up into the urethra. And obviously, it is quite difficult, I hear, for one to shit through the penis. So those ones generally land.
There's a sentence for the podcast era. Huh?
So those ones are normally the emergencies, and those kids will divert immediately at birth. So we'll do a stoma for them so that they can actually pass stool. And then at around 3 months of age, we'll take them back, and that's when we build said asshole.
Yes.
And then 3 months after that, we'll close the stoma so that they can use
the newly constructed asshole.
Yes, and for the purposes of medicine, a neo-anus.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, a neo-anus. That's the technical term.
Ooh, look at
my
neo-anus. Isn't it shiny?
This is fascinating. Mm. What do you build it out of? Because it's a sphincter muscle.
Yeah.
So it's a circular muscle, right?
So the sphincter muscles are generally there. They just have nothing in the middle to sphincter against, I suppose.
Okay.
The rectum is higher up, and what we actually do is it's called a posterior sagittal incision. So if you're looking at the bum, the cleft down the middle is where we make our incision, and we dissect it. Just underneath the coccyx is usually where you'll find the end of the rectum. And once you find that end of the rectum, we dissect around it.
Pull it through.
Pretty much. Yeah. And we lengthen it until we can make it reach the skin edge, and we use a muscle stimulator so that we can see exactly where that muscle sphincter complex that you're talking about contracts.
Yeah.
And we place the neo-anus in the middle of that sphincter complex.
So this baby could have will most likely, I'm having some problems here.
Yeah.
This baby will most likely go on to be able to have a completely normal shitting life.
Yeah. So
pardon me, there's all this talk. Getting me worked up.
Oh my gosh. Look, I think the thing,
take your anus so for granted until you hear these stories, huh?
Wow.
Yeah, we do make beautiful assholes. We really do. But
that's fantastic.
They will never function as well as the one
original
that other people are. But yeah, exactly. We are of the rip-off variety.
So, I mean, be grateful.
Yeah.
We take a lot of things for granted in our lives, and one of them is our assholes.
I've done a couple of talks, actually, where the WITS Student Surgical Society likes to do these debates between the different surgical specialties. And, you know, you always have the professions coming in like ophthalmology, and they're like, we've got such cool equipment and we make a lot of money, and the plastic surgeons are like, can you imagine giving somebody a face and you can change their whole being? And I'm like, how many times do you go home and you've like waited the whole day, because you're not a public bathroom person,
yes,
just to take a good dump, and you sit down and it feels amazing, and you're like, oh, it's just so relaxing, and you have a good poo. It'd be amazing to give that to somebody.
Absolutely.
Everyone deserves
the
neo-anus.
Yeah, the neo-anus. So they don't work as well. A lot of the kids land up on what we call a bowel management program, where you have to do
A BMP.
Where you have to do washouts and irrigations. It's like daily daily enemas. We put them on different medications to make sure that they keep regular. And that's another one. You know, this is stuff that people don't talk about. Nobody wants to go to a school and go, hi, my daughter's absolutely normal on the outside, but if I don't wash her out, she drips poo in her pants. And it's... Mm. So there's actually, it's hardcore, man. Yeah. It's things that we don't think about that, you know, we can fix the bum, we can make a neo anus, but then what? So one of the guys that we work with, who is a colorectal specialist here in South Africa, Chris, he has started a pediatric colorectal support group on Facebook, which I think, you know, if anybody listening has issues,
yeah, you should go and join
you should go and join it. And I think it's like a really helpful place where people come together and they can really, they can talk, and you can use words like shit and poo and cucka and, you know, whatever. So, you know, like a normal conversation.
Very adult.
Very adult. Okay. Very adult.
I like this. Do adults ever have to have their assholes reconstructed?
Well, I told you just the other day that my aunt had to have hers made bigger.
That was just a dilatation.
It wasn't a huge thing, okay? It was just, they didn't use tools. They just used a finger or two, apparently.
What?
Yeah.
As a gay guy, I will not be participating in this conversation anymore because it could go many ways.
So, all right. So, adults, you sometimes have to do these things too.
Well, it just depends. I mean, like, a couple of the cases that we've had to use a similar approach for, which are unique to our setting. The one is we see quite a lot of sexual abuse.
Oh.
So little girls who have been terribly raped, one little boy as well, where once they've recovered and healed, there's actually not much of an anus. It's outside of the sphincter complex. Jesus. And we have to go and operate again to make sure that that gets put in the right place. And one of the other groups that we see are caustic enemas.
What?
So we live in a society that has, I suppose, been brought up on the sunlight enema, where if you're not feeling great and you're a little bit constipated, people will do enemas. But unfortunately, there's still a lot of poorly educated people that we have in our society who are doing enemas with boiling hot water.
Oh. So,
you know, third-degree burns inside the rectum and anus, that scar down. Oh. And yeah, those are some of the other kids that land up with this type of procedure. I know that a similar procedure has been done in one adult that I know of who was an opera singer who had a terrible tear when she gave birth. And they used a similar type of...
Did she bust out a note at the same time?
So they've used the same technique to sort of help her and sort her out. But yeah.
It's wow.
Versatile. We don't limit ourselves only to children.
How awful. I mean, you busy yourself with this stuff every day. You take some pride in being able to help people.
Yeah,
that's
amazing.
Part of the reason that you do it. But it can't always be fun work. I mean, there must be times where you're elbow deep involved in some surgery and you think, what am I doing?
Yeah, I think, you know, people deal with things so differently. One of the ways that I deal is that I may come across like quite blasé.
Mm.
You know, that the stuff is, run of the mill and not really paying much attention to it. But it does hurt and the kids really do get you. And I think you form a relationship with children a lot easier than you would form a relationship with an adult. The other side of it is that 99% of the time, these children are not doing it to themselves. You know, you can sort of like distance yourself from an adult where they come in with a diabetic foot and you think, okay, but really, you know, you've been smoking for 50 years. You're not taking your insulin.
What does a diabetic foot look like?
Oh, it's very gross. It's like,
what is it?
It's when it just gets really infected and disgusting, and because the sugars are high, the bacteria are more, and it's just really gross. It smells bad. It oozes.
There's a smell?
Oozes.
Yeah, no, it's really gross.
What oozes?
The foot.
The foot.
The sores.
The tissues from
the suppurating foot.
Yes.
Oh, this morning has been a lot.
Want some mashed potato? Little bit of mustard.
So when you have a family lunch, you can't talk about these things.
Oh, she does. Trust me, you'll be half... The veal you're eating is halfway down your throat, and she'll show you a picture of someone's exploded vagina.
Jesus.
Oh,
it's been like that. We're used to it now, you know?
Taryn, you're mad.
Yeah, and Taryn, you even described the diabetic foot as gross. So you are... grossed out by these things, but you just
what's the grossest thing? I mean, a diabetic foot.
Okay. No mucus for me. I can't. I don't know how a foot is doing.
Mucus.
I cannot
from the mouth.
when you're in theatre and then they take the ET tube out after they're waking somebody out and it's got that like creamy mucus. I'm sorry.
She can deal with
shit on me and vomit and blood is not an issue, but that mucus, I can't. And like caked teeth, that when the plaque is so thick, it's I can't. I, you see adults, I can't do it. I just can't. I cannot.
Sia has died 8 times this morning.
No, I cannot do that.
I did want that visual.
Could we perhaps just clarify something in wrapping up? So Aaron, the nice people that I work with here think that I'm a hypochondriac.
Yes.
My argument is that I'm not a hypochondriac. I just happen to have many illnesses.
Ailments.
But she is a hype. I mean, she's always, you know, there's stuff going on all the time with Leanne.
There's always something, a new thing that she's discovered.
Now it's the sleep apnea, which could be the root of a lot of her problems. Right?
Yep. I don't know what to say.
She's a problem.
And feel like, unfortunately, she is, well, what we in this profession hate. She's a proper home doctor, backseat Google driver.
Oh.
But
comes to you and says, I've got this, I've got that, I've got that.
The problem is that she's often correct, which I don't have often at work. So I feel like, yes, hypochondriac, maybe.
Uh-huh.
But also, yes, many issues. Many issues.
I think you must give her some irrigation.
Maybe you should try that.
Daily rectal washout.
Give us a stay out daily
Brazilian
elimination.
get her a Brazilian blowout. All right, well, Taryn, this is fascinating. I do think people are going to want to have you back here to explain other conditions.
So whenever
you have an extra 5 minutes in your crazy schedule, we'll catch up with you again.
Taryn, what's your official title?
I am currently a pediatric surgery registrar.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it. And I'm writing exams so that one day I can also be called a pediatric surgery consultant. But that is so far and so near, and I don't want to jinx it, so we pretend it doesn't happen.
Knock on wood.
Mm, thanks.
Here's someone. Michelle says, I'm eating my Birch's muesli while listening to Ass's Best Cousin. I'm not even revolted by it. Thanks, guys. Well done on your new neo-arsehole. That's from Michelle. Wow.
Thanks, Michelle. Love
great.
It.
Sir Echelon says, please explain what poop pain is. I often get spasms in my anus.
Proctalgia.
Proctalgia.
Mm.
Proctalgia?
Don't we all have it? I get spasms in mine all the time.
You get spasms in everything all the time.
Yes, that's true. You see, hypochondria. And then the same Michelle says, I once had my asshole tampered with because of pikes and tears. What's that?
Piles, I think.
Piles.
Tear?
Piles are a big problem.
Yes.
Lots of people have piles.
So many people. Nobody talks about it. Everybody pretends nobody has blood from the bum, but it happens to everybody.
How do you fix piles?
Boy.
Do you actually fix piles?
I am very lucky, again, with children, in that very
few
children
really
have piles.
Adults who get piles.
All that pushing.
That's me.
Just let it fall out, man.
Piles.
It's all about positioning.
Anything we should look out for in our stools that would be especially worrisome? If they were very dark, if they were very light, if they sank, if they floated?
Yeah, we like to call it a tarry stool.
Yes.
Tarry, that's Melina. That's digested blood, basically. Okay. And it smells horrendous. You will know it the minute it comes out of your bum hole. You will know. You will know if it looks black and tarry and it smells awful, you're bleeding from somewhere, you should go to the hospital.
Poo.
Wow. Oh. There we are. There's a clanger to leave it on this morning. Sure. Thanks, Taryn.
No
fascinating.
Problem.
I'm not sure whether I'm horrified or whether I'm inspired.
We'll never be the same people after hearing this.
Very, very good. All right. Well, there, you've learnt a lot.
Ooh, that feels so good.
No, that one needs fiber. Definitely.
Definitely more fiber. All right. Here's the unnews, the stuff you need to know this morning. Okay, the case of the EFF MP accused of stealing a laptop returns today. The accused has cancelled the accusation rubbish. Sorry, has called the accusation rubbish, but he did say he had a very productive weekend catching up on party emails and managed to complete his provisional tax return thanks to finally downloading Excel. Isn't that good news? Give him a round of applause. I think that's lovely. The ANC are gearing up for a fact-finding mission to Venezuela. They insist on doubling down on the stupid during the 2019 election year, and by going over there, they're certainly sticking to party policy. The trip will cost 450 million rand, and that is mostly because they'll have to take their own food and drinking water, because they're not prepared to eat weak old dog. And finally, Namibia are interested in buying the Northern Cape from South Africa. You may wonder why, but apparently it has everything to do with them wanting to improve their rugby team. By acquiring the Hoërskool Upington first team alone, Namibia's chances of qualifying for the Rugby World Cup will be increased dramatically. And that's all we got time for this morning. Don't forget Auto Central Live today at 9 o'clock, among other things, on cliffcentral.com. Thank you to Taryn, our guest this morning, and thank you to you. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is cliffcentral.com.